Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock bringing you information on real estate and finance.
And all things related.
There you go. Today's no exception, too. I'm really excited about our guest today.
I'm super excited about our guest today because I get very, very passionate about this topic.
I know you do. Okay.
Yeah. But you found our guest. So why don't you introduce her?
I will. Can I tell the story?
Absolutely.
Would you want to first tell them who this is?
Yes.
Just randomly have some lady talking on the air.
Then I'm going to tell the story. So we have with us today, I'm really, really excited, Paige Ulrey. And Paige is the Senior Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County, the Criminal Division. And you specialize in elder abuse, yeah?
Correct. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Paige.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's really fun to be here.
Okay, now I got to tell you the story.
Okay.
Because you were famous like 15 years ago.
Really?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think about 18.
Was it that long ago?
17 or 18 years ago.
So Reba, and I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
What? Paige made national news because there was a particular judge in King County, and Paige had shown up to court, and this judge reprimanded, well, I don't know if that's the correct term, reprimanded Paige for wearing a very stylish pantsuit into court.
Because she looked too good?
She felt that Paige should be showing, I believe, wearing a dress, yeah?
I was one of the, it was a trial, a jury trial, and both the defense attorney and I were wearing black pantsuits, and we were reprimanded for not wearing a skirt or a dress in court.
Yeah. And so...
Okay, the look of stunned, I just, wow. Wow.
So I
and that's less than 20 years ago.
I think
ago.
That made, it made Leno, it made...
It did make Leno.
A bunch of different
How
things.
How did that get out?
Yeah. It made the front page of the Seattle Times.
Yeah, was there a newspaper person in there that heard this? Like,
no.
How did they find that out?
So we came back to our respective offices during the break after the judge told us this, and our offices just caught on fire, and everyone was talking about it. And I think someone from one of our offices called a friend at the Seattle Times.
That's how it got out. Well, I read it.
I'm totally digging that. I want to high five you right there.
Thank you
for doing that. Because, you know, when I was in technology before I started doing this industry, I used to always wear pants. And people would be like, why is that? And I said, because I don't want to be seen as the skirt in the office.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I don't want to have someone treat me a certain way because I'm the skirt.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we actually asked the jurors after the trial was over if they had any concerns about our wardrobe. And they were like, no, we didn't even notice that you were wearing a
Well, because first of all, it wasn't
versus,
1950. Right,
no kidding.
Longer.
They're trying to just follow the case. Yeah.
Exactly.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. Well, I saw the article in the Seattle in the Times, and I'd worked
and
with
you were
Paige.
Like, I got to call this
Paige
gal?
Paige and I have worked together for a lot of years.
Oh, have you?
We have.
And so I left her a message. I just said, hey, Paige, it's Eric. And you know what? If you need any financing for a home, you can wear pants to my office. So that she
did you
she
offer to
right
loan
back,
her some?
You know, so, yeah, no, we wouldn't want to wear my pants, believe me. Yeah,
no, for our listeners, she's much tinier than Eric. So
yeah, there you go.
Believe me, it wouldn't
be. Bless
and it would
you.
Not be a good look.
Yeah, no, not at all. But
Eric, you were one of several people who called me, and it was just so nice to get these warm, supportive calls after that happened.
Yeah,
really
that
wonderful.
One, you know, just kind of a side note. Over the years, I've done a lot of volunteering, and I mentor Eagle Scouts for Boy Scouts, and I help them get their Eagle badges, which is kind of the highest honor that they can get. And I've had to work with this particular judge who also happened to be pretty active in scouting from time to time. And I've always just kind of bit my tongue, and I've never said anything. But
That judge?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing.
She lost the next election, actually.
It was a campaign issue,
and her opponent defeated her soundly after that.
That was a woman who did that? Yeah, and there were other stories, you know, but I wish we were on video right now.
Because I'm just like, oh my God, my jaw is like hanging open.
We'll tell you more stories over cocktails or something.
Oh,
like
heck
that,
yeah. I want to get to know Paige here. This is awesome.
So we're so glad to have you on because, you know, Reba and I like to, we talk, of course, real estate and finance, but we also want to talk about, you know, lots of, you know, community things and things that affect our listeners.
Things that impact our listeners and the industry itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And your area of elder abuse is a big problem, and I'm guessing it's a growing problem. And it's just really great to have you on to kind of tell us a little bit about it. And
yeah, because I want to know, what is that?
Right. Can you kind of just kind of walk us through sort of what it is that you do and how that fits in?
Absolutely. So I work for the King County Prosecutor's Office, and I prosecute cases of elder abuse and neglect and financial exploitation. So there's a lot of different forms of elder abuse.
Right,
there are
yes.
sort of four general forms that we use in the criminal system.
Okay.
And they are financial exploitation, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and neglect.
Okay.
And by far the most common form that we see is financial exploitation.
Yeah.
The statistics are really hard to get a handle on because we think we're not seeing most of the cases that are happening.
I'm going to agree with you,
yeah.
most likely.
Yeah. And one study that was done recently said that for every one case of elder financial exploitation that occurs, another 44 never come to light.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're just seeing a tiny fraction of the cases that are
yeah.
occurring.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a huge problem. It's growing, as we know. The older population is growing dramatically mm-hmm. in this country and actually throughout the world. And
yeah.
What I do is get cases from law enforcement that law enforcement has investigated.
Okay. I was wondering, like, how do these come
yeah.
to your attention?
And okay. law enforcement gets them from family members, from neighbors, from realtors, from
okay.
bankers.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting more and more cases, thankfully, from banks,
mm-hmm. oh, thank goodness.
From adult children. Rarely from victims themselves, because very often they don't even recognize what's happening to them, or they feel like there's too much at stake to
so
report.
So can you explain what type of financial exploitation is happening?
Sure. It's like there's every form that you can imagine.
Okay. Like people taking over their bank accounts?
Yeah. We see a lot of people who are becoming an attorney in fact or a power of
right.
attorney for an
mm-hmm.
older person
okay.
who are then, you know, with one signature by the older adult, the attorney in fact, mm-hmm. the person they're appointing,
yeah.
has complete control over their assets.
Right.
And so what we see is these attorneys in fact, who are supposed to be acting in the best interests of the elder, starting to spend their money on themselves rather
right.
than for the elder's benefit.
Yeah.
And that's theft.
Right.
That's a crime.
Correct. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
we're trying. So that's like probably the most common form that we see.
Right.
We also see a lot of scams where strangers mm-hmm. are, you know, telling older people to invest in something that's not really a real investment or a lucrative
right.
investment. We see people who are targeted because they are alone and older
mm-hmm.
and befriended by somebody who's intent
mm-hmm.
on exploiting them. And then the exploitation occurs.
Yep.
So there's a huge variety of cases that we see. Those
and unfortunately, for myself, I mean, I'm glad to hear you say that some realtors bring this and real estate agents bring this to the attention of the courts, because I personally have experienced it myself with several different cases. I mean, even as you were describing some of those, I'm like, oh, yeah, there was this other guy and his adult child got a power of attorney, and then he had a medical disability and ended up being in a nursing home and couldn't really walk very much. And I ended up having to do a short sale of his condo. And the thing was, is his daughter had taken over that condo and planted a friend of hers in there as a renter and then was taking all of the rent. And even though he had a mortgage that needed to be paid, she was letting him go down the toilet financially while she was taking money
right.
from the asset. And then also she had access to his other assets. And so here he was, you know, every month going more and more into debt on all of this while still dealing with a very traumatic medical issue
right.
that was going to shorten his life. And I had to interact with her at one point because, so I had to get him engaged at the nursing home level with their senior services people, because, you know, and the reality is sometimes they're not bringing it to someone's attention because one, they're embarrassed, which this gentleman was. He was embarrassed about what was going on. It's difficult for them to admit that someone that they love might be doing this. And so it's really hard for them to get to that place of acknowledgement and willingness to, because they have to prosecute at that stage, or they have a choice to prosecute potentially, right? Because
right.
it depends on if they can get their control back. And one of the things I also had to get him involved with the legal services at the nursing home was, like, you need to revoke that power of attorney
right.
because she's just yeah. out there acting on it all the time. And you need to make a change.
Right.
You have to take control of the situation for yourself again. And so that was just one case. You know, and I, before we went on air, I told you about another one recently where it's the befriending this man who's alone and people offering to buy his home at this significantly low price. To him, it seemed like a ton because he'd bought the house in 1971. But in the end, we sold his home for $180,000 more than the highest price anybody had offered him. So clearly someone knew that there was the potential of this income that they could get out of this house, but they didn't care about what was going to happen to him after the fact.
So I have a question about that, Paige. So let's say we've got a circumstance like that, and there's, and Reba, you might talk about this in a little bit, but there's actual seminars
yes.
where people are being coached on how to
exploit, that one gets me the most pissed off.
Know, elderly or misinformed, or you know, or maybe even mentally disabled people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you prove the crime? How does that work?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different theories that we have when we prosecute these mm-hmm. cases. One is theft by embezzlement, and that's where you have someone with a fiduciary relationship to mm-hmm. the older person who's mm-hmm. using their money for themselves rather than for the elder's benefit.
Okay.
So the first example you gave, Reba, that's a perfect example of that, and that's probably the most common scenario we see. Adult children who become powers of attorney, parent usually has some dementia, mm-hmm. maybe is in a long-term care facility, mm-hmm. and then the kids start taking the money for themselves, not paying the bills, and just you know, literally draining the elder of all their assets.
Yeah.
Another really common scenario is theft by deception. Another way we charge mm-hmm. cases mm-hmm. is theft by deception, and that's where someone lies to the victim, and the victim gives them money based on the lies they tell. So some of those kind of scenarios mm-hmm. you were talking about, Eric, that might fall under that category.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we don't hear about most of those cases because they're never reported to law enforcement.
Right.
And we also have to be able to make it clear. We have to be able to prove in our case what the lie was that was told to the victim and show the victim relied on that lie in handing over the money. And that can be a tough thing to do.
It seems like it'd be really difficult to prove that sort of case. So. And I imagine you've got to go in and sort of forensically dig out that information.
Exactly.
And I have a bunch more questions about that because that part to me is pretty fascinating. You know, just how you can go about, you know, kind of getting that information and digging that information out. So we've got to take a quick break here and just pay a couple of bills. But when we
do pay our bills and we don't give power of attorney to somebody to do it for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Hence us being the sponsors of our own show.
That's right. So stay tuned. We have more Paige Olry here with King County Prosecuting Office and more on elder abuse. Stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba.
Keep your pants on.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.